Thank you, Music Ed Ministry team. If God wouldn't withhold his own son, but would freely give him to us to sacrifice him on the cross for us, how much more will he freely give us all things? It's my privilege to get to introduce a good friend of mine, and we were actually fellow pastors for a while in Indiana. Brent Savinsky and his wife Becky are here with us for the next couple days. Brent is a graduate of BJU, both on the undergrad level as well as from the seminary, and he and his wife have two sons, Hunter and Connor. Hunter is a senior and Connor is a junior, and seeing Hunter and Connor always makes me feel old, because I remember when they were little boys and they would come with their dad to our church in Indiana, they were the knife guys, and Jeremy Frazier's boys were the sword guys, so they would run around our church, and thankfully no one lost an eye, no one got hurt. But it's great to have the Savinsky family with us, and both their sons are students here. Pastor Brent Savinsky is one of the pastors at Community Baptist Church in South Bend, Indiana. I know we have some students here from that church, and I'm looking forward to hearing as he opens the word to us tonight and tomorrow night. One of the hallmarks of Bob Jones University is that this isn't just a liberal arts university, but it has the heartbeat of a Bible college. And so that's why every semester we start with evangelistic services, and I know our hearts will be warmed and we'll be challenged. And again, if there's anyone here tonight who doesn't know Christ as Savior, either on live stream or here in this room, I hope that the Holy Spirit will start working in your heart, drawing you to himself. But would you join me in welcoming evangelist Brent Savinsky?
Let me invite you to take your Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 3, if you would. Colossians chapter 3 for our text this evening. Hope you're ready for a great school year. I remember as a freshman my very first opening night of evangelistic meetings here at Bob Jones. I hope if you're a freshman, I hope your first night's a little better than mine was. I was sitting up in the balcony, and I didn't realize at the time I had some physical issues going on. Long story short, I ended up having a panic attack up in the balcony, which was not awesome, and they actually ended up, I think it was exciting for the ushers, but that's probably just about it. They came and got me one out, and after that, things seemed to progress a little bit better, so I hope tonight the preaching will not cause a panic attack in you. But anyway, let me invite you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be looking this evening together at verses 1 through 4. Tonight, my heart's desire is this. Number one, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that tonight you will enter into that relationship through faith with Jesus Christ. Number two, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, it is my desire that God will use his word to do a spiritual reset in your heart and give you a focus on why you are living, the reason you're living, and to center your life and refocus your life on living for Jesus Christ. Look at them, please, at Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. God's word says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Look this way, please. The entire chapter is built on the first phrase of the first verse, if you've been risen with Christ. You can translate that word since or because, so it could be because you've been risen with Christ, since you've been risen with Christ. It also carries with the idea, if this is true, if it is true that you have been risen with Christ, then the rest of the chapter is for you. When it says if you, it's personal. Have you been risen with Christ? And what it's referring to here is this. Has there been a time when you realized that you were a sinner separated from God, and as a sinner were lost and dead spiritually without help and without hope? And then through the preaching of the gospel, through the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ, you realize that Jesus Christ, God in flesh, came, lived a sinless life, and died a substitutionary death for you on the cross, died a literal death, rose 3 days later, a literal resurrection, and you received him by faith as your Savior. If you have believed the gospel and you have received Christ by faith, God's word says your life is so bound up with Christ, it's saying you are risen with him. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that took you who were dead in trespasses and sins and has given you eternal life. Your life is bound to Christ. It's an eternal, it's an inseparable relationship with God that cannot be destroyed, cannot be broken, because the eternal life in you is the very life of Christ. My question to you is this. I didn't ask you if you've asked Jesus into your heart. I didn't ask you if you prayed a prayer when you were 3, 4, 5, or 6. I didn't ask you if your mom and dad wrote somewhere in your Bible that you got saved on such and such a date. My question to you is this. Have you been risen with Christ? Have you believed the gospel? If you have, the rest of the chapter is for you. If you haven't, tonight, can I encourage you? Receive Christ. Believe the gospel. Receive Christ as your Savior. And then you too will be risen with Christ. The power that raised Christ from the dead will give you life. For those of us who know Christ, it changes everything. Christ changes everything. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we're going to see tonight, look with me please back at verse number 1. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. It changes our life's pursuit. The word seek literally means to pursue after. And he says, we are to pursue the things which are above. Sometimes when we don't really know how to describe something, we use the word things, you know, the thing or the other thing or that thing. And here, Paul was not losing his mind. He didn't know what not to say. When he says things, he actually gives us a clue as to what we're to be pursuing. He says we are to be pursuing those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We are to be pursuing the eternal things, the things that please Christ. In the picture here of Christ being seated at the right hand of God, two things are true. Number one is that it's the idea of the work that Christ came to do is finished. The fact that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God means all that the Father gave him to do was accomplished on this earth. Everything necessary for your salvation and everything necessary for your sanctification has been accomplished through Jesus Christ. Number two, it's a position of authority. Did you know that Jesus Christ has the right to tell you how to live your life? You know, it's funny to me. It used to always crack me up when I'd come here to, when I was a student at Bob Jones, kids would tell me this. They wanted to get away from home so they could get away from the rules. And then they came here. I'm like, really? Okay, great. Most of us don't like being told what to do. But you need to understand that Jesus Christ has the right and he has the authority to tell you how you are to live your life. Matter of fact, Jesus spoke these words to disciples. He said, why call ye me Lord and do not the things that I say? When he says you are to pursue the things that are above, you are to pursue his priorities, his values. You are to pursue what pleases Christ. Now, one of the problems is this, is that we've taken some of these things and we've actually, I believe we have such a misunderstanding of them that we have Christians who believe if I'm going to pursue things above, all I do is read my Bible, pray, and go pass out tracts. That's all I do. That is not what he's referring to. And I want to say this too. This, in the fact that we are to be pursuing Christ, what it does, it gives eternal value to matter what we do with our life as long as we're living for Christ. Personally, I'm a little tired and sick and tired of this idea that if you are not in full-time vocational ministry, that somehow your life has less value than someone who is in full-time ministry. It's not true. Look at me. Get this. It is not what you do for a living that gives your life value. Just because I'm an evangelist, just because someone's a pastor, a missionary, a youth pastor in Christian education, on staff or faculty here at Bob Jones, it doesn't matter what you do for a living. That just because I have this vocation does not give my life more value than yours simply because, oh, well, they're a businessman, they're a nurse, they're an educator, they're in plumbing, they're a contractor. The value of your life is not in what you do for a living. It's in who you live for. And it's Christ. Can I ask you a question? What are you pursuing? Some of you came to pursue academic excellence. Some of you came, it's your music. For some of you, it's your sports. For some of you, it's relationships and it's your social life. Can I encourage you in all things and in everything, pursue Christ. Pursue Christ. And what happens many times is we allow our hearts to get distracted and divided. And instead of pursuing what pleases Christ, we are pursuing what pleases us. And we lose our focus and we lose our purpose. This will help keep us on track. If we've been risen with Christ, we are to pursue those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Are you pursuing what pleases Christ? Number two, it changes our life's passion. Look what he says in verse number two. He says, set or fix or focus your affection. That can also be translated your thought process, your minds, how you think. He says, on things above, not on things on the earth. You are to focus your great love is to be on eternal things. And then he gives a little more clarification. Two times in two verses, he says, listen, you need to pursue things which are above. You need to set your affection on things above. And in the second verse, he gives a little bit of contrast by helping us to understand by saying, listen, you are to pursue, your affections are to be on things above, not on things on the earth. In other words, just the temporal things. It is so easy for us, for our love that is to really be directed primarily to the Lord, to be divided and distracted and diverted to lesser things. What's the great commandment that we've been commanded? What's the single greatest commandment Jesus said in the New Testament? What did Jesus say when he was asked that question? What's the greatest command? His answer was, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, all you are. Love him. The second is likened to the first, love your neighbor as yourself. But the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. I want to ask you a question. What has crept into your life and has divided your love and your affection in your relationship with God? Can I remind you, 1 John 5:3 says, and this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, or if it's true you love me, keep my commandments. Loving God is obeying his word. And if you want to know whether or not your life is a life that is being lived to love God, look to his word. Because if you are not living a life of obedience to his word, then you are not living a life of love towards him. And he says, you need to fix your and focus your affection on things above. Love what God loves. And don't allow these temporal things to draw your affection and your love to have a greater love for these temporal things than you do for eternal things. Now, all that to say, it doesn't mean you can't enjoy life. That's not what he's saying. He's just saying, love God more than these. Number three, he says this. I want you to look with me, please, back at verse number three. He says, all of this, our life's pursuit and our life's passion is all because of our life's position, who we are in Christ. And he says, the word for is the idea because, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, if you're thinking, you're like, okay, wait a second. He said I was risen with him. Now he says I'm dead. What is he saying? He's not saying you are spiritually dead. The word dead, the root meaning of the word is separation. Here's a verse that will give a little bit of clarification to that. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you were saved, you were redeemed. Titus 2:14, speaking of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. In other words, Jesus Christ paid the ransom, your ransom, from every lawless deed so that you could be, as Paul wrote in Colossians, transferred or translated from the kingdom of darkness and sin into the kingdom of his dear son. Now you have a new purpose of living. You have life in Christ. So when he's saying you are dead, what he's saying, you are now dead to sin. Its power has been broken. Its condemnation has been removed. It no longer has right or authority in your life. And now you have been set apart to live for Jesus Christ. And that's the second part of the verse. He says, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That phrase, your life is hid with Christ in God, carries with it a couple things. Number one, the word hid is the idea of concealment. In other words, all that we are in Christ, we do not yet understand. But there's coming a day when we will. He mentions that in verse number four. The second part of the word hid is the idea of security. The fact that in Jesus Christ, our life is secure in God's hands. And it cannot be taken away. Jesus said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither can any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father that gave them me is greater than all. Neither can any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are secure. And he says, your life is hid. It's safe. It's secure. And there's coming a day when all that you are in Jesus Christ is going to be revealed.
but it hasn't happened quite yet. That's why he says, if you look at verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Now, that little phrase, when Christ, who is our life, is such an amazing phrase. We need to give that some thought. We need to ponder and meditate on that very simple phrase, Christ is our life. Jesus Christ is the source of our life. Jesus Christ sustains our life. He is the guardian and the keeper of our eternal life. Christ is our life. And he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Now, different commentators have different kind of viewpoints on this. Some think it refers to when Christ appears and when the church is raptured. Other people think that it's when a believer dies, because to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. Some think it refers to a second coming. The idea is the word appear means to be made manifest or to be revealed. So whether that's the rapture, whether that's when a believer dies and they are in the presence of the Lord, or whether it's the second coming, there is coming a time when you will one day see Jesus Christ. And when you see Christ as he is, he says, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Then who you are in Christ is going to be revealed in its totality, in its completeness. Matter of fact, in 1 John chapter 3, God's word says, it doesn't appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's coming a time when we are going to see Christ, and when we see Christ completely, fully, in all that he is, then we'll understand all that we are in him. As we kind of wrap this together, I want to just share a testimony. When I was, a number of years ago, I'm a hunter, okay? I love to hunt. I love to fish. Big outdoorsman. And if you talk to me very long, you will find out that is probably one of my great passions, is hunting, fishing, and the outdoors. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to go on a bear hunt up in Saskatchewan, Canada. It was a really cool opportunity. It was for a TV show. The TV show was not that good. The hunt was amazing, okay? And I got to go as a bow hunt and had an awesome time. Part of my job, the reason I got to go for free, all I had to pay was my plane ticket and a rental car. The reason I got to go for free was because I was also a videographer. So I was videoed on the hunt, and then I also did videography work for the guy who was with me. And so we had 5 days. The Lord gave me an amazing bear, beautiful 370-pound black bear with a bow. It was incredible, wonderful memories. Well, after it was all over, I came back home and had a few good months. And getting ready to gear up for the fall, it was in August, I get a phone call from the guy who was the producer of the show. And he calls me up and he says, hey, Brent, I got an opportunity for you. I said, okay, what's that? He said, I want you to go on a caribou hunt for me. Now, caribou is like on my top 10 most like desire to go hunting. I would love to hunt caribou someday. And I said, well, okay, tell me about it. He said, listen, this is an all expense. I pay your plane ticket. I pay the rental car. You get to keep the bow, the arrows, all the camo, the boots, everything. And you get to hunt two caribou, and the two biggest caribou that are killed are going to be free taxidermy. So, I mean, already I can see this beautiful caribou head, you know, on my wall. I said, man, that's amazing. It sounds great. He goes, yeah. He goes, listen, you did such a great job with me with your videography. I want you to produce the show for me. I want you to do it all, and I want you to go. I said, okay, well, when is it? So he gave me the dates. Now, I had, in the dates he gave me, I had all this time free, but in that 10-day period of time, there was one day, it was a Saturday, that I was supposed to be preaching at the Teen Harvest Rally in Connersville, Indiana. Saturday, one day. Now, I'm going to ask you, what do you think was going on in my mind? Do you think that was hard for me when, you know, here's about an $8,000-$10,000 trip, you know, one day, what do you do? What did I want to do, do you think? I want to go hunting. He said, Brent, can you do it? I said, nope. He said, why, what? I said, Danny, I've got a Saturday youth rally, one day, Connersville, Indiana. I need to preach it. He said, you're a nut. I said, no. He said, no, you're crazy. You'll never get an opportunity like that again. I said, maybe not. He said, can't they find somebody else to do it? I said, probably, and he would actually probably be a better preacher, too. That's probably true. I said, but Danny, he said, why in the world won't you do it? I said, Danny, because God didn't call me to hunt. He called me to preach. To this day, he never understood why I wouldn't take that trip. You know what? If I never get to hunt caribou, who cares? Who cares? Because when you, as a believer, begin to evaluate your life through Scripture, and you allow Scripture to direct you, what you're going to find is this. You are going to make choices, big and small, throughout your life, centered on pleasing Christ. And there are going to be things that you are going to say no to and you're going to say yes to, not because it's your desires, but because you are being obedient to Scripture. And I'm afraid that we've lost too often in our, we've lost our focus. We have lost, what are we pursuing? And we are pursuing lesser things, things that are not God's priorities. And we need to be reminded, we need to be pursuing those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. We need to set our affection. What has grabbed your affection? What do you love? What is it in your life that's divided your affection from what is to be your greatest love, which is to be loving your God and obeying Him and living your life centered on Christ? He reminds you, we're to live this way because of our position in Christ. Yeah, we're dead to sin, but we're alive to God through Jesus Christ. And this life that we have, Christ is the center of our world. He is the one that we are to be living for, is Jesus Christ. And there's coming a day when one day we will see Christ. And when He appears, then we'll appear with Him in glory. But I want to tell you something, young man, young lady, look at me. One day when you look into the face of Jesus Christ, the one who loved you and who gave Himself for you, it'll be worth it all. Every time you said no to self and yes to Jesus Christ, it will be worth it all when you see Jesus Christ, your Savior. As we end our time tonight in God's Word, I want to ask you a question this evening. Who are you living for? What are you pursuing? What is your passion? Will you pursue things above? Will you love, set your affections, your great passion on things above? Jesus is worth living for. In a moment, we're going to have a time to reflect, to think on this truth, and to respond in obedience to it. Here's what we're going to do. It's going to be a time of just quiet. We're not going to have any singing, no music being played. It's just going to be a time for us to quietly and meditatively reflect on God's truth. And I want to encourage you to do this. If you have never prayed through Scripture, could I encourage you to pray through Colossians 3, 1 through 4? And maybe you need to ask the Lord, Lord, what am I pursuing? Lord, search me, know me, try my thoughts, look at my ways, and see, Lord, what am I pursuing? Am I pursuing after the things which are above, or am I pursuing me, myself, my own desires? What about your affections? Lord, help me to set my affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And maybe the Lord tonight has dealt with you, and He has shown you that you have diverted your love to lesser things, and you need God to reset your heart focus on loving Him most. Can I encourage you tonight, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, or if you are someone, you say, I just need to talk to someone, in our time of about a minute, maybe a minute and a half of quiet, we're going to be here quiet together. But if there's a specific need that you have, you'd like to talk to someone, or you would like to have someone pray with you, during that time of quiet, you're welcome to go out these side doors and allow an usher to point you to a counselor who can share God's Word with you, who can share Christ with you. If you're not comfortable with doing that, when our time is over, find your group leader or AGL or find your RA, somebody who can help you from God's Word. Would you do that this evening? Well, let's reflect and respond to God's truth this evening. And let's ask Him to help us to pursue His pursuits and to love what He loves. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed together. Let's reflect and let's respond to God's truth together this evening. Heavenly Father, I ask that your Spirit and your Word would be used tonight to reset our hearts, to refocus our minds, and to help us to pursue what you love, to pursue, Father, what you desire us to live for. And I would ask, Lord, that hearts would be helped and changed and equipped to live for Christ tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name.